Today we continue to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, entitled Dhruva Maharaja Goes Back to Godhead. Text number 9. Let's do the word to word first. Tasya Pritena Manasa Tam Dattva Vadai Tataha Pashyato Antar Dade. So Api Swapuram Pratyapadyata Tasya Pritena Manasa Tam Dattva Advaitaitada Pashyato Antardate Sopi Swapuram Pratyapadyata Tasya Pritena Manasa Tam dat vai vadaistata Pashyato antartate sopi Swapuram pratyapadyata Forgot to say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Ashtaprayeshu Bhagadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Please repeat. Tasya Vidruva Pritena. Being very pleased. Manasa. With such a mentality, that remembrance, dattva, having given, Ida Vidaha, Kuvera, son of Ida Vida, Tataha, thereafter, Pashyetaha, while Dhruva was looking on, Antardate, disappeared. Saha, he, Dhruva, Api, also, Swapuram, to his city, Pratyapadyata, return. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The son of Ida Vida, Lord Kuvera, was very pleased and happily he gave Dhruva Maharaja the benediction he wanted. Thereafter, he disappeared from Dhruva's presence and Dhruva Maharaja returned to his capital city. Purport. Kuvera, who is known as the son of Ida Vida, was very pleased with Dhruva Maharaja because he did not ask him for anything materially enjoyable. Kuvera is one of the demigods, so one may put forward the argument. Why did Dhruva Maharaj take a benediction from a demigod? The answer is that for a Vaishnava, there is no objection to taking a benediction from a demigod if it is favorable for advancing in Krishna consciousness. The gopis, for example, worship Katyayani, a demigoddess, but the only benediction they wanted from the goddess was to have Krishna as their husband. A Vaishnava is not interested in asking any benediction from the demigods. nor is he interested in asking benedictions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is said in the Bhagavatam that liberation can be offered by the Supreme Person, but even if a pure devotee is offered liberation by the Supreme Lord, he refuses to accept it. Dhruva Maharaja did not ask Kuvera for transference to the spiritual world, which is called liberation. He simply asked wherever he would remain, whether in the spiritual or material world, he would always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A Vaishnava is always respectful to everyone. So when Kuvera offered him a benediction, he did not refuse it, but he wanted something which would be favorable to his advancement in Krishna consciousness. Om ajnana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa tadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guruhu shri uta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamsa shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunathanvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita shri vishakhanvitam cha he krishna karuna sindhu dinabandhu jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Galpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Sri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. Many of you will be familiar with this statement. This is in Nectar of Devotion. In the preface, Prabhupada writes this sutra-like, I'm not saying punchlines, but from a sadhaka point of view, this kind of summarizes what is actually very important. The purport brings out another such line where it says that in the purport Srila Prabhupada mentions a Vaishnava is always respectful to everyone. For the practice of devotional service, we have to accept things which are favorable, give up things which are unfavorable, and this also becomes part of your surrender. Anukalyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. So here we are seeing Dhruva Maharaj accepting a benediction from Kuvera because it is going to help him advance in Krishna consciousness. He is also following the advice of Swayambhuva Manu. Fortunately for Dhruva Maharaj, he did not have to go searching for Kuvera, who might be displeased with him. In this case, Kuvera being pleased by the actions of Dhruva for giving up his anger and stop killing yakshas, Kuvera himself comes and gives darshan to Dhruva Maharaj, and being very pleased by his attitude of giving up anger, which is very hard to give up, Kuvera is giving benedictions. Now, if we look at the sequence of events leading up to Swayambhuva Manu giving advice to Dhruva Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj taking that advice, I personally learned a lot of lessons looking at that entire sequence. When Dhruva Maharaj started getting advice from Swayambhuva Manu, there was no interruption in between. Unlike Arjuna, who gave a list of reasons why he should not fight, Dhruva Maharaj did not give any reasons why he should keep fighting. We don't hear two conversations when the advice is going on. We just hear Swayambhuva Manu speaking and Dhruva Maharaj constantly hearing. This is despite the fact that he has seen the Lord, he is already initiated by Narad Muni, and he is assured that he will go back to Godhead at the end of his life, and he will live a long life. Everything is assured. Still, he did not speak a word when Manu was giving advice. Dhruva Maharaj did not say, "So I am actually facing the situation. What do you know? You are just an observer. I am the one who is going through the emotions. My brother got killed. It's not yours." Still, although it's a family line, he did not say any of those. Many times when others give advice to me, I probably cut them off. Or even if I don't cut them off, I start to show body language, which is kind of, I have to hear this. You're telling me, okay, yes, you're my senior. So even though I sometimes out of arrogance I do cut them off, but if I don't, I just seem to be showing those body language which says that, yeah. But we don't see any of those with he is just patiently hearing. Interestingly, the same Dhruva Maharaj did not get did interrupt or did say to Narad Muni when he got that first instruction. Narad Muni first said, "Just be satisfied with whatever comes on its own accord. You're just a small boy. Go ahead, go to your home and play. That's your natural. Why do you want to take it so seriously?" At that time, Dhruva Maharaj did say, "No, this advice doesn't suit me." In that purport, Prabhupada writes that there are different spirit. One is Brahmana spirit, one is Kshatriya spirit. That advice which is applicable for a Brahmana may not be applicable for a Kshatriya. So at that time, Dhruva Maharaj did ask Narad Muni for something that he can follow. But after having gone through the transformation of seeing the Lord and come to a point of Mahabhagavat, where he is fully transformed in the heart, here is where we see how he is getting advice from Swayambhuva Manu. The way Swayambhuva Manu starts to give advice is also very interesting, in that he brings out the good qualities of Dhruva Maharaj first. And this is how you were, and this is your caliber. He is reminding him that you are a pure devotee. That's when it struck me that even a pure devotee needs to be reminded when he goes off track, then what to speak of neophytes like me. Then I must be more open when people come and tell something. In that sequence of advice, Dhruva Maharaj, Swayambhuva Manu brings out what is expected of you and what sort of circle that you belong to. You are in the part of a pure devotees, and this behavior is not suitable for you. Your current action is not befitting your position as a pure devotee. So when starting to give advice, if we change the roles, that if we have to give advice to somebody, we start off from stating what their strengths are. Swayambhu Manu did not straight away chastise Dhruva Maharaj, although he could have, he had the power and position. He did not. He started off by bringing out the good qualities. This is where you belong to. This is how you must be acting. The Lord is always thinking of you because you are a pure devotee. And you shouldn't be doing something which is displeasing the Lord. Then from that point of view, then Swayambhu Manu moves on to give lot of tattva, philosophy. As usual, philosophy starts from the basics, which is, you are not the body, you are spirit soul. Whenever in classes we hear this line, you are not the body, you are spirit soul, internally we switch ourselves off. I've heard it many times. What's the point? Yeah, I know that. Then we hear about the creation, the three material elements come together, the Lord glances, again we switch off. Oh, Bhagavatam, why is it getting repeated so many times? The fact is that every day we go to sleep and we get up, we forget who we are. That's why it's highly recommended that the last 10 minutes before you go to sleep, if you are able to spend quality spiritual time with the Lord, then when you're sleeping, that 8 hours, 7 hours, 6 hours, if you're lucky, 5 hours, whatever time it is, that's what you're going to be thinking about, but that's what your mind is going to ruminate on, the last 10 to 15 minutes, any. So, if you're able to make that as a point to spend that quality time for yourself, which is you as a spirit soul, then that's what throughout the night you'll be thinking on, and then sometimes Prabhupada says you can even dream about the Lord. And despite the fact I used to get nightmares and whatnot, so Prabhupada's purport explains that whatever karmic reactions you have to go through, sometimes you will experience in your dreams. It's a token reaction. So, if somebody is actually going to come and strangle you, and you're going to feel that pain, and then it happens in your dream, you call out the Lord's name, and because that last 10 minutes, there was some input from some spiritual strength, that kind of, you come to your rescue. So, we need to be reminded many, many times who we are, and this is the case even for Mahabhagavat-like Dhruva Maharaj. Which means we must have a proper attitude with other devotees so that they can come and help us. I failed miserably many times in this attitude, which I'm trying to build on now. So as the advice progresses, it talks about how the Lord is the ultimate doer and you are not the doer. Again, the same. You heard this many times. So he goes, he takes up all the advice, and then the crucial aspect of the advice comes to the point of being disrespectful to Kuvera. Now, this is when I started reflecting, okay, I'm given a particular important service, then I'm given a particular amount of power and authority as well to do that particular service. At the same time, I'm doing the service in the midst of other Vaishnavas. They've also got their roles to play, they have their power, they have their authority, and sometimes the actions that we are doing may create conflict with what other services which other devotees are meant to do. For example, I'm meant to use the room for a particular time, but then other devotees also need to use the same room. So then how do we, rather than saying, no, I got the authority, you just back off. because this is my service and that's how I'm meant to do. I got the backup. Now, you may win the situation, but you will lose the people. You will lose the blessings of others. Even for a person who is liberated, guaranteed to back home, to go back home, back to Godhead, Manu is still advising that don't displease Kuvera. One may say, okay, Kuvera is just a demigod. So the connection of Kuvera is also made, where Kuvera is connected to Shiva and Shiva is a topmost devotee. So if Kuvera is agitated, Lord Shiva is also going to get agitated. And then, so you see the hierarchy. So we must be mindful of when acting in the midst of devotees. So my actions is going to create some effect. And if that effect is not going to be good, it's going to affect other Vaishnavas. And if they are not going to be happy, I'm not going to be successful in my spiritual life. We need to be mindful of that. And this is what Manu is starting to tell. First, he glorified him, then brought about the fact that what you're doing is not befitting you, then a flow of tattva, philosophy, then comes the actual pointing out of exactly what is going wrong. Because attitude is important, that's what we started off with. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude. Dhruva Maharaj, when 5 years old, you showed a proper attitude of worshipping the Lord, but what happened now? You are meant to be loving all living entities. Although one yaksha killed your brother and you have taken him steps, but now you have gone very far. And by this action of yours, you are displeasing others, especially Kuvera. Now, Prabhupada naturally, in his own style of putting an argument and then answering it. This is like a technique to draw. So you go to the opponent's side and speak as if you are the opponent and come back and defeat the same argument of the opponent. So people will argue, okay, why do you have to respect the demigods? And for that matter, Dhruva Maharaj, why does he have to even take benediction from a demigod? Bhagavatam establishes that demigods are also servants of the Lord, except that they have still material attachment. They are also devotees of the Lord. So however exalted you may be, you still have to respect other devotees. And if they are displeased, what's the effect is that your constant remembrance of the Lord will get interrupted. That's the whole point where a Vaishnava is always respectful to everyone. Why is that? Because once you have that attitude, then you can constantly remember the Lord. Because what is Mahabhagavat? What is he asking for? Is that I must always remember the Lord. Whether I am in the material world or spiritual world, I should constantly remember the Lord. Now for that, what is favorable is accepting, even though it's a benediction from Kuvera. And then he has to change his attitude internally, that even though I'm assured of going back to God, it's still while I am in this planet, I must show proper attitude towards other Vaishnavas. So when we are pointed out that our actions, either knowingly or unknowingly, has displeased others, then we must take proper corrective action. And what corrective action? That also Swayambhuva Manu advises. This is in... he uses the word helanam. Helanam, disrespectful behavior too. So this is 4.11.33. This is Swayambhuva Manu speaking. My dear Dhruva, you thought that the yakshas killed your brother and therefore you have killed great numbers of them. But by this action you have agitated the mind of Lord Shiva's brother Kuvera, who is the treasurer of the demigods. Please note that your actions have been very disrespectful to Kuvera and Lord Shiva. And that's where the theme of a Vaishnava being always respectful. So when somebody is going off track, he is getting pointed out. And the attitude change is being emphasized. In the purport, Prabhupada writes, Lord Manu stated that Dhruva Maharaj had been offensive to Lord Shiva and his brother Kuvera because the Yakshas belonged to the Kuvera's family. They were not ordinary persons. As such, they have been described as Punya Janan, pious men. Somehow or other, the mind of Kuvera had been agitated and Dhruva Maharaj was advised to pacify him. The next verse will actually tell what needs to be done. So Swayambhu Manu continues. For this reason, my son, you should immediately pacify Kuvera with gentle words and prayers, and thus his wrath will not affect our family. So here we see the corrective action that is being told. So you pacify him with gentle words and prayers. As I mentioned earlier, Dhruva Maharaj did not have to go looking for Kuvera to pacify him because he stopped the fight. Kuvera himself came. Now, this may not happen to us. The person who we displeased will not come in front of us and wait for us to ask for forgiveness. We may have to go looking for them. And when things are pointed out, we may have to take corrective action, like who are the parties who got affected. Then go ask forgiveness. So, a simple action of us which has caused some negative effect on the others in our own ashram or community or group of other devotees, it's best to look for that when we are being told and go and ask, take corrective action. So pacify them with gentle words and prayers. And by that, what's happening is you are actually protecting your bhakti. We can either keep our ego and lose our bhakti, or lose our ego and keep our bhakti. It's up to us. I'm still trying, I'm not there yet. Another interesting point that came out of this advice is that, so if you are doing something wrong, and by that wrong action, the entire family may get affected. That's the line which Manu uses. And thus, his wrath may not affect our family. So the wrath of a Vaishnava may affect the entire family, despite the fact that you are a Mahabhagavat. So how careful we must be in our own levels when we are dealing with others, especially in terms of respect. Now, when we look at Swayambhuva Manu's point of view, we look at another way of protecting his subordinate. Dhruva Maharaj did not go and ask for Swayambhuva Manu's help. But Swayambhuva Manu, being the Manus are supposed to be the protectors of mankind, right? That's the definition of Manus. So he is seeing that one of his family members, he is going off track. Although he is not approaching and asking for advice, he is still going and interrupting because it's going way too much. So if we see our subordinates who are under our control or who are meant to take advice from us, if they are going way off track, instead of waiting and seeing the entire scene happen, it is better to step in and take corrective action. Thereby, you are preventing the effect in your own family, because if he is doing it, it's going to affect you and ultimately it's going to eat your head. So it's a, you're dependent to something, or immediately it may not come to you, but ultimately it will come to you. So rather than being waiting till the entire thing happens, and then so before it gets too far, it's better to interrupt the person and stop, saying, even though he won't be able to come and ask you for help, because he's too much into passion and anger, in this case, Dhruva Maharaj, even though he was very exalted. So at that time, instead of letting the entire thing happen, what Swayambhuva Manu does is he steps in, because he is very particular about protecting the bhakti of Dhruva Maharaj. So as superiors, it is also a point to note that when people under your care are going astray, you may have to step in and take corrective action so that you don't face the repercussion as well. We were discussing this point about the entire Yadu dynasty. The Krishna's own sons were putting up, they were playing a prank, and the sages got agitated and they cursed, and the entire dynasty was annihilated. So if proper behavior is taught to our subordinates, then they wouldn't be creating bad effects. The positive side is, if from the beginning if you are able to give that good sadachar training to the subordinates, then they wouldn't be behaving in a wrong way, and you don't have to go correct them. At the same time, even if they are given, they have to be constantly reminded. That's what Swayambhuva Manu is actually doing here. He knows that Dhruva Maharaj is exalted, but at this moment he is being carried away and he is going way beyond what is to be done. So he steps in and he corrects him. Now, this is a part of accepting whatever is favorable, because the entire advice and the whole thing, even though it's painful to hear all that, still Dhruva Maharaj took it because it is anukulyasya. And he gave up anger, which is pratikulyasya, which is not going to help him in his devotional service. So he is giving it up, and that's why when Kuvera came, even though he's a demigod, and by standards, Dhruva Maharaj has attained love of God, the demigods may not be at that level of love of God. Why is he still taking that benediction? Because he's following the instructions of Swayambhuva Manu. Another crucial point is, when instructions are given, we have to remember it and follow those instructions. If we can't remember, we should at least write them down. Because I was chastised once by my Guru Maharaj that you seem to be hearing and you keep forgetting. How many times should I tell you? So keep a notebook and pen. Whenever I say something, write it down. And then go through it, and the next time don't do the same thing. So it made sense. And then when other God brothers were serving very nicely, they were planning and way ahead and doing, then I realized, okay, because I used to think I'm serving my Guru very nicely. So then when I came to a different congregation, and then I saw, okay, you're... So then the reason why he got me also was that to show that you are not so great. And that time he said, how organized others are. So if they are telling you something, their instructions are given, it's better we take a serious note of it. Because somebody is giving their quality time and energy for us, for our own benefit, then we must take it seriously and then take a note of it, and then at least not do the same mistake again. It's not that we'll be mistake-proof always. At least we should try not to repeat the same thing. So if you're forgetting, It's better to write it down and then do a review once in a fortnight. Ekadasis are good. That's the purpose. So we review where are we, how much are we following, how much we are not following. And it would also be a good time to go and ask for feedback and say, okay, where am I? And if you're constantly failing in an area, it's better to put your hand up and humble enough and say, collectively or individually, we need help, or I need help. Then, once we are in that mood of receiving instructions, so then are willing to be corrected, so that's the correct attitude. And by that attitude you will advance. That is why Swayambhu Manu was concerned, you have advanced so much, now don't lose all that. So the point of remembering those corrections and then applying them so that it doesn't have to be told many times. Now coming back to the point of accepting what is favorable, unfavorable. Yes, so Kuvera at this stage, as a demigod, is giving a benediction. Whatever Dhruva Maharaj has asked for, okay, you will always remember him wherever you are. So here Dhruva Maharaj is actually, by listening to whatever Kuvera is saying, Kuvera again comes and tells some philosophy. So by the time factor, the Lord is a doer, again Dhruva Maharaj is patiently listening. He didn't say, come on, I just now heard from Swayambhu Manu, not again. You are coming and telling me the same thing. So when there is a chance for correction, so at that time don't mess up again. The person who you wanted to get forgiveness from, he's there. At that time again, don't mess up. So at least at that time, do it right. So here, Dhruva Maharaj was fortunate enough, Kuvera is coming, giving his darshan and is giving benediction also. So by your actions you are able to please or displease other Vaishnavas. So if you have displeased them, next time when you are given a chance, try to pacify them, glorify them. And in this case, just by accepting the benediction, although he is in a much higher platform, still Dhruva Maharaj took the benediction from Kuvera and thus pacified him. And that's being brought out in this. So he accepted it because it is going to be favorable and it is a right opportunity for correcting the situation. And ultimately, the objective is that he can remember Krishna constantly. That was Swayambhu Manu's concern. That should be the concern of every superior, where he is concerned about how to make sure his subordinates are constantly remembering and there is no interruption and they don't end up doing things which are going to be harmful for their bhakti. Physically, the superiors may not be able to protect us always, but they are concerned about protecting the bhakti. So, in that sense, we can start off by offering respects to the superior Vaishnavas by appropriately addressing them. Although within the circle of the superiors, we may see that they are casual in their dealings among them. When we see and we are allowed to be with them, we shouldn't take up that role of being casual. Casual attitude leads to casualty. So we should still be addressing them properly and have that attitude of respect. Now if things are going favorably, this scenario is all pleasant and I'm able to go ahead. What happens if we are seeing things around us which are very unpleasant, and we're still being respectful, and this amount of dissatisfaction or discontent keeps building on us. Now, what is the remedy? It happened to one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and he wrote to him. And Prabhupada actually gave him a good philosophical understanding, and that letter is kind of used as one of the reference material in the Founder Acharya course. So this is to Atreya Rishi Prabhu, where he wrote to Prabhupada raising concerns about his fellow godbrothers having serious conflicts, not following proper respect, and a big list of complaints. And then Prabhupada writes him back. The main complaint Atreya Rishi Prabhu brought out is, this behavior of between godbrothers is impersonal. So, reading this letter actually helped me to correct a lot of my own actions, and the complaining chatterbox which goes on inside my mind, at least I'm able to pacify and put it on mute. If you can't, I can't eliminate it. At least put on mute by looking at this response. Let us go through this. I am very much pleased by the sentiments expressed herein. It is not so much that because there may be some faults in our God brothers and God sisters, or because there may be some mismanagement or lack of cooperation, that this is due to being impersonalists. No. It is the nature of the living condition to always have some fault. Even in the spiritual world, there is some fault and envy. Sometimes the gopis will quarrel over Krishna's favor. And once Krishna was so much attracted to Radharani that by mistake he tried to milk the bull instead of the cow. And sometimes when the gopis used to put on their dress and makeup for seeing Krishna, they would be too much hasty and smear kumkum and mascara in wrong places, and their ornaments and dresses would appear as if small children had been trying to dress themselves, and they were not very expert like that. There are so many examples. So what Prabhupada is saying, if you want to find fault, you can find fault even with Krishna, even with Radharani, even with the gopis. There are so many examples, but it is not that the same as material fault or material envy. It is transcendental because it is all based on Krishna. Sometimes when one gopi would serve Krishna very nicely, the others would say, oh, she has done so nicely, let me do better for pleasing Krishna. That is envy, but it is transcendental, without malice. So here comes the, like, just like Swayambhu Manu giving advice to Dhruva Maharaj by bringing out his goodness, then giving some philosophy, now comes the actual correction. I can request all the Kumaras to be quiet while we discuss. So we shall not expect that anywhere there is any utopia. Rather, that is impersonalism. People should not expect that even in the Krishna conscious society there will be utopia. Because devotees are persons, therefore there will always be some lacking. But the difference is that their lacking, because they have given up everything to serve Krishna, money, jobs, reputation, wealth, big education, everything, their lackings have become transcendental. Because despite everything they may do, their topmost intention is to serve Krishna. So when we develop that disrespectful attitude towards others for various reasons, whether genuine or not, Prabhupada's words gives that reality check. Okay, so maybe you have high expectations and you think that in a spiritual organization everything will be perfect, but it may not be so, because still we are persons and there will be some shortcomings. Now, having said this point, Prabhupada in the same letter tells what should be the proper attitude. One who is engaged in devotional service, so now Prabhupada quotes the Abhishek Sudhuracharya words. One who is engaged in devotional service, despite the most abominable action, is to be considered saintly because he is rightly situated. Now this section Prabhupada tells about how you should see the devotees of the Lord. The devotees of Krishna are the most exalted persons on this planet, better than kings, all of them. So we should always remember that, and like the bumblebee, always look for the nectar or the best qualities of a person. Not like the utopians who are like flies, who always go to the open source or find the faults in a person, and because they cannot find any utopia, or because they cannot find anyone without faults, they want to become void, merge, nothing. They think that is utopia, to become void of personality. So if there is some slight disagreement between devotees, it is not due to impersonalism, but it is because they are persons, and such disagreements should not be taken very seriously. The devotee is always pessimistic about the material world, but is very optimistic about the spiritual life. So in this way, you should consider that anyone engaged in Krishna's service is always the best person. Prabhupada is now taking the argument of Atreya Rishi Prabhu and turning it against him. So, expecting that everything will be perfect and there won't be any faults anywhere, that is impersonalism. Because we are not dealing with machines and robots which are pre-programmed and act in exactly the same way that we like. Even they have faults and they have a warranty and all that. So, because persons are there, a same service, different people may like to do it differently. And obviously there will be some conflict. But ultimately the top intention is to serve Krishna. So expecting that there won't be any disagreements or there will be a perfect situation, that Prabhupada says is, that attitude in itself is impersonalism. So later on, Prabhupada encourages Atreya Rishi Prabhu to engage in his service and how he can go ahead and do big programs to attract a certain section of the society, which is what he wanted to do. So we see that similarities between how Swayambhu Manu was advising Dhruva Maharaj, concerned about saving the bhakti of Dhruva Maharaj. Here we can see can we ask them to keep quiet? Can Philip come and sit near the camera? Please. Thank you. Maybe we should put a sign. So just as Swayambhu Manu was advising Dhruva Maharaj to protect his bhakti, Srila Prabhupada is here advising Atreya Rishi Prabhu to protect his bhakti so that he changes his attitude towards his godbrothers and godsisters. And this letter was like a profound just cleared my consciousness very, very much that it was just an answer, that it's just the right thing that I needed to hear. That's the beauty of Srila Prabhupada. And that's the beauty of getting connected to a disciplic succession, but is that they are constantly taking care of you. If you're going off track, through their letters, their books, or through seniors, you will get that. That's what I said, it takes a village to raise a child, so it takes the entire disciplic succession to get a person back to God. So that's why I felt that this is exactly for me. So these are some of the lessons that I learned from this section of Bhagavatam. I tried to share. In the process, if I have committed or offended somebody, please forgive me. Let's see if there are any comments or questions or corrections. Purpose, purpose. Yes.
My question is, when the Guru Maharaj killed so many yakshas,
yeah,
he actually already committed a very big offense. And in spite of doing that, because his only brother was killed, but he killed so many yakshas. And when Kuvera and Lord Shiva got agitated, so what was their reaction to what action Guru Maharaj did? Like, how did they, how Kuvera still forgive Guru Maharaj?
Because Dhruva Maharaj gave up something which is very hard to give up, which is anger. And he could have quoted the same Manu Samhita or scriptures or used his authority as a king. And the fact that he is a Mahabhagavat, he has got the Narayana Astra, everything is in favor of Dhruva Maharaj. He could have gone ahead and annihilated the whole race, but he stopped. But despite having so much power and backup and the support, and he could have gone ahead and used everything to kill their race, still he stopped because Swayambhu Manu came and said. Just because you put, that's explained in the previous verse, because you have given up something which is very hard to give up, which is anger, and you have stopped killing, that's why I'm pleased, I'm here. Now, so that action of Guru Maharaj, of giving up anger, that's what pleased them. And any other questions? That will conclude here. Grantharashimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.